in 1 Kings chapter 17 as we read about Elijah. And the Bible said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. You can be seated this morning. Now, as I said, I want to preach on having a thought on the Lord will do it again, or he'll take care of his children. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 37, the psalmist David did, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I was listening to Brother Hal Seitler the other day. Brother Seitler pastored at Tabernacle Baptist Church from the 50s on into the 90s over in Greenville, South Carolina. And as I was listening to him the other day, listen, that is a miracle of technology. He made a statement and he said, I've never seen and that a faithful tithing Christian and that to be deserted by God. Hey, there's a lot of truth in that statement right there. Can I tell you today that, friend, if you love God and you're saved and you're serving God to the best of your ability as you know how and you're faithful in it, can I tell you today that God will not desert you? Listen, when it looks hard, when it looks like things is going to come to an end, I'll guarantee you that God will come by and do it again. Amen. That's like Brother Jeff was talking about in Sunday school. God has a way of sending a token. God has a way of helping us to get through our hard times. Now I want us to look at Elijah for just a minute. Listen, this is the first mention that we find of Elijah in the Bible. The very first time that we find him is right here in chapter 17. Now Elijah's a man of God. If you look in the latter part of the chapter, you'll find that widow Zarephath even admits that. We look in the book of James chapter 5 and we find out that Elijah and that had power with God. The Bible said that he prayed that it might not rain, and it rained for the space of 3.5 years. And he prayed that it might rain, and it rained in the earth, and that gave forth its fruit. We know that Elijah is the one that went on Mount Carmel and met with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove and prayed, and God answered by fire. He's the one that ran from Jezebel when Jezebel got after him over there. Listen, Elijah in the book of Malachi chapter 4 was the one that was promised that would come before the great day of judgment. If you read over there in the book of Luke chapter 1, as God was talking to Zechariah, John the Baptist's daddy, he said he's going to go forth in the power of Elijah. Even Jesus said, I believe it was in the book of Matthew, one, or the book of Mark, that John was and that Elijah that was to come. We find that Elijah was with Jesus and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I believe that Elijah will be one of them two witnesses over there in the book of the Revelation, chapter 11. Now, having said all that, I want you to look right here at what God done for Elijah. And let me say this, that if God done it for Elijah, then he'll certainly do it for you and me. Now, are you with me this morning so far? Listen, don't have your mind on Christmas dinner just yet. Amen. We'll get there and eat just in a second. But I want you to look at what your Bible said in verse 1. What does it say? It says that God and that sends Elijah out there before King Ahab. Now I want you to look at the stand that Elijah made. You know what he told him? He said, look, he said, for these years, according to my word, it's not going to rain. Now, why would God and that want Elijah to pray that it might not rain? Now, look at the very first thing that he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Now, you know the problem that the nation of Israel has had. They've had problem with idol worship. They've had problems in that servant Baal. Ahab has married Jezebel, and she's dragging idol worship, and they built groves out there, and they've worshipped, and that somebody or something other than the true living God. Why do you think that I preached on and tried to stay on the past few weeks, and that for you to remember what this time that we're in is all about? You say, well, preacher, I wouldn't worship the prison. I wouldn't worship the Christmas tree. I wouldn't do all of that. I know that, but we lose sight and that of who we are and worship and what this time is truly about. So Elijah, he says, look, the very first thing he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. He wanted King Ahab to know that he's alive and that he's well. Can I tell you this morning, God's alive and well. Amen. And he's seated on his throne. Well, look right here. He said, I want you to see something. Now, Elijah's taking a stand. First time, I don't know if this is the first time he's ever met King Ahab, but he's standing before the king. He says, look, God of Israel is alive. And he said, I'm standing here, and I'm going to tell you, it's not going to rain. Now, listen, imagine what kind of guts that took to stand before the king and tell him, look, it's not going to rain. As a matter of fact, in the next few chapters, when Elijah meets Ahab, Ahab meets Elijah again, you'll find out that King Ahab said, are you the one that troubleth Israel? And Elijah said, I'm not the one that's troubling Israel, but you and your house is the one that's troubling Israel because of the worship that you've had. So we see Elijah's stand that he takes. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you're going to have to stand when it isn't popular. Sometimes you're going to have to stand when you're going to have to stand alone. Hey boys, sometimes you're going to have to preach some things that's very unpopular. But as long as it's sound doctrine, as long as it's led by the Holy Spirit, I knew that preaching this message was probably not going to be real easy this morning. Y'all's wanting Christmas. But I knew what God wanted. Amen. I believe God knows what you need. Just like he's going to know what this widow woman's going to need just right here in a minute, you see, as we get over there. But most of all, he knew what Elijah needed. And so he said, it's not only going to not rain, but it's not going to have dew that's going to fall on the ground. So we see the stand that Elijah takes. And according to the book of James, it was because that Elijah prayed that God shut up the heavens. And so God has a saying to Elijah, his word, if you would. But he says this, he says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. He said, I want you to go down. Now listen. Now Elijah's a Tishbite, and he's from a little town over there called Tishbe. And that Cherith brook runs pretty close to Tishbe over there. And so God said, Elijah, I want you to go hide down by the brook Cherith. Now, why did he want him to go hide? Because he knew the king was going to be looking for him. If you get over in chapter 18, you'll find out that King Ahab had sent servants out and had sent everybody in that to look for Elijah, the man of God. He wanted to find him. As a matter of fact, when he ran into Obadiah over there, he told Obadiah, he said, go get King Ahab. And he said, why do you want me to do that? He said, you want me to get killed just as soon as I go tell King Ahab, then you're going to be drawn off by the Spirit somewhere else. And I bring him back and you won't be here. So God had a plan for Elijah. He said, go hide from the king and go down by the brook Cherith. He said, I have commanded. Now, I've got that underlined. In my Bible. That's very important. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. He said, I want you to go down by the brook. He said, I want you to stay down there. And he said, the ravens are going to feed you and you'll drink from the brook. Now, listen. I'd have been scratching my head about this time. I just prayed that it's not going to rain, and God wants me to go down by the brook. I prayed that it might not rain, and I know in the back of my mind that sooner or later that brook's going to dry up. But you know what the Bible said right here? It said in verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Bible didn't say that he argued with God. Bible didn't say that he said, well, what about this or what about that? The Bible said that he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Can I tell you this right here? That until Elijah went and done what God wanted him to do, he had never been fed, he had never been took care of, and he had never been protected, and that from the king. Can I tell you, until you get in the will of God for your life, you're not going to be where God wants you. You're not going to be supplied for nor took care of. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. All right, help me out now. We've got quiet over the past 6 or 7 months. You need to help me out. Amen. I'm going to preach on that sometime. I tell you what, you know, if you'd help me, my preaching might get better. Amen. 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 I'll be honest with you. Hey, listen, pray for me. Hey, I got a boy in Hartford, Kentucky, praying for me. Sent me an email last night. Listens to our radio broadcast on shortwave. And he says, preacher, I'm praying for you. I said, praise God. Thank God for that. My, my. Who would have ever thought that somebody in a little town in Hartford, Kentucky would be listening to us on the radio? That's amazing, ain't it? Amen. Anyway, let me get back to this right here. Hey, he obeyed God and done the saying that God wanted him to do. So he went under the, and look right here. So he went according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now look right here. Now watch this right here. The supply of the Lord. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank by the brook. All right. Now you say, well, what's so big of a deal about that? Let me tell you something about them ravens. Them ravens are a dirty bird. I mean, if you look in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14 and verse 14, you'll find out that they're unclean. You'll find out, hey, listen, closest thing we got to a raven around here is an old crow. And we may have a few ravens around here, but they are a little different. A raven and a crow is a little different, but their eating habits are the same. If you study on a raven and you study on a crow, they're very opportunistic, if you let me say that. In other words, they'll eat whatever they can, when they can, and how they can. And so if you would this morning, God being our helper, think about a raven being a crow. Now how would you like an old crow to bring you breakfast in the morning and supper in the evening? Ain't no telling what they're going to bring. But the Bible said that God had commanded them ravens. I tell you this right now, that them old ravens knew the difference between clean and unclean meat. Why? Because God commanded them. I believe Elijah was keeping the law. I believe God expected them ravens and that to keep the law. It wasn't going to take him nothing unclean down there to eat. Now think about this for just a second. Now I'm preaching on a God that'll do it again. Now stay with me, okay? Now think about that first morning or that first night that Elijah goes down there by the brook Cherith, and it's real easy to see that we got water and he can scoop up a little water and he can drink, but God has promised that the ravens are going to bring me some bread and bring me some meat. Now, I'd be standing there wondering about some things and be looking for that old dark dirty bird coming in the sky. You know, I studied just a little bit on ravens. Now, you know, crows travel in a pack, but ravens will generally travel sometimes alone, sometimes two together. And as they get older, as they get older, they'll mate for life if you study on ravens. And so these ravens fly in, and we'll just say at the evening time, and drops him off a little bread, and drops him off and that little meat. And I'd say that he had him a far gone, and he cooked up that meat and he ate it. And before he raised his head up the next morning to wake up, I'd say that raven, I kind of think that raven flew in. Think about this stuff sometimes, where he's got his far pit built, and I kind of think that raven just dropped that meat off. And so before Elijah ever got up the next morning, that raven had already come and dropped it off. And Elijah thanks the Lord. And so that evening, that raven comes back and drops off that bread. And that next one comes back and drops off that piece of meat. And he cooks it up and he sits there and he eats it and he drinks out of the brook. I don't think that I don't think that them ravens brought him a whole cow in there at one time, but I do know they brought him in there enough to sustain him. Now, God knows how to get what you need to you. Now, just as sure as he was able to calm the storm, being in the boat with the disciples in Mark 4, he was able to calm the storm, not being in the boat, in Mark 6. He come walking on the water, didn't he? He's a God that'll do it again, ain't he? So day in and day out, Elijah got to see God do it over and over and over again. He'll do it again. Over and over. You ever think Elijah ever just took that for granted? Now listen, we're talking about it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He didn't move till the brook dried up. Hey, this ain't a week. This ain't 2 weeks. We're talking about a year, year and a half, 2 years that Elijah sits down there by the brook, hiding himself, drinking from the brook, eating bread and meat that ravens brought him. Not one time did them ravens miss his meal. Not one time. See, we read over that and we don't think that through, that this was a day or 2 days or 3 days. Hey, this thing rocked on for a while. And so I kind of wonder if Elijah ever just took that supply for granted. I think a lot of times, church, if we ain't careful, we'll take the supply of the Lord for granted. And He'll always be there for us if we're serving Him. But you know what? We ought to thank Him. Now, the Bible don't tell us this, but I kind of think Elijah might have thanked God every day for that bread and that meat. And so he supplied for him physically as he ate of that bread and drank of that water. But God also was supplying for him spiritually as he was down by the brook. What do you mean? Think about everything that Elijah was going through down by that brook. Every day that brook slowed down just a little more. Every day that brook got smaller and smaller. It's not raining. It's not raining. Listen, that thing's a bubbling up out of the ground. And unless you put water back in it, it's eventually going to quit bubbling up out of the ground. Amen. And so I have no doubt that Elijah somewhere along the line has to begin to look at this thing. But listen, I'm going to tell you, sometimes God gets us down there by the drying brook so that we'll simply have faith in Him and trust Him. Elijah had to trust Him. You don't find where I thought about it. I reckon he had an old cane pole down there that had a line and a hook on it, and he could have been fishing out of the brook. I don't know. God didn't tell him to fish out of the brook. God said, I'll send some ravens and I'll let them feed you with bread and meat and take care of you. He said, no, he didn't say that he had to fish. That would be me. I'd be down there trying to fish. It'd be like the nation of Israel, man. They had manna that was given to them, and the Bible said that it was angels' food, and they still murmured against God, and God sent them, and they had enough quail. 3 feet deep. I believe it's 20 miles square. They couldn't walk on a quail without stepping on one, and while the meat was still in their mouth, God sent and had a plague down there to kill them all because of their murmuring. But God knows how to take care of us. And so he's got to have faith and trust God. God gets us in a place sometimes where we'll just have faith and trust Him. You ever been there? You just got to be in a place where you have faith and trust Him and say, Lord, I know You're supplying for me right now. But boy, I tell you, this is something else. I'm telling you, this is something else. I made mention of that little card. Brother Jeff made mention of that little card this morning that I got. I've left it in my Bible, so that I can always be reminded about that God answers prayers. I like to look at it and read it sometimes. It takes me back to God answering prayers. Here Elijah is. You know what he's saying? He's seeing the power of God for him. God's moving specifically for Elijah. You ever seen God move just for you? Because you ask Him. Because you ask Him to. Because you had a need. Listen, in the Bible said in the book of Philippians, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he knows how. And listen, how many times have we asked and seen God move? I told the Lord probably about 2 weeks ago. I said, Lord, it'd be real handy if we could just hear from somebody, that's listening to the broadcast. I forgot even praying that. And then late last night, I get the email from that boy up in Hartford, Kentucky. I told my wife, I am amazed. I'm amazed that anybody wants to hear me preach, let alone download it and carry it around with them where they can take it with them. I'm amazed at that. Y'all say amen right there. Amen. That's all right. I'm amazed when men come in a whole revival or preach something for them. I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed. Because it ain't no mark. Listen, if you get a blessing, it'll be because of God. Amen. Hey, but listen, you know what Elijah's learning to deal with down there by the brook? He's learning how to deal with loneliness. Think about that. He's down there by himself. Down there by himself. Brook's drying up. Only friends that he's got, some old dirty birds, some old ravens. I was thinking about this, Jeremiah. I reckon he named them. That's the way my mind works. And when he come in, he said, well, there's Bill and there's Sally. They brought me my food today. I guess Joe and Susie will come tomorrow. Or come this evening. Now, I don't know. I don't know if he done that or not. I really don't know. But I just tell you how my mind works. But he was by himself. Now, sometimes God gets us in a position to where we just get a little lonely sometimes. And it forces us to look to him. He's teaching him to deal with loneliness. Now, I can say a lot about the ministry. The ministry itself creates loneliness. Elijah is basically one of a kind. If you ever study Elijah's life, you'll find that he comes through one day, a few chapters later, takes his mantle and throws on a man by the name of Elisha. And a few chapters later than that, Elisha asked this. He said, Elijah, on his way out, he said, what do you want me to do for you? And Elisha said to Elijah, he said that I can have a double portion of your spirit. Oh, man. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. But he said, nevertheless, he said, if you're with me when I leave out of here, so shall it be. And you'll talk about a God that'll do it again. On the way over getting to where they were going, Elijah took his mantle off, smote the Jordan River, and it parted, and they crossed on dry ground. They get over on the other side of Jordan. The chariot of fire comes down, and the horsemen of heaven come down and take Elijah out in a whirlwind in his mantle, and that falls back to the ground. And Elisha picks it up, and he rolls it up, and he goes back down to Jordan, and he says, oh, the God of Elijah, and smuts the water, and that with that mantle, and God parts the water again. God, they'll do it again. Part of Jordan 2 times in one day. But he had to deal with loneliness. But God was proving himself right there by that brook. Elijah was exactly where God wanted him to be. He was by himself. He was getting fed by some dirty birds. And he was having a drink out of that brook. But God was taking care of him. I want you to look in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Bring how long it took for that brook to dry up. Now think about that for just a second. Didn't dry up overnight. Didn't dry up in 6 months, I dare say. I'd say this thing rocked on a year, year and a half, 2 years, something like that. I don't really know, but I know it didn't dry up overnight. Look in verse 8. And where the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Let me stop right here and say this real quick. Go back and look in verse 4 of your Bible. What's it say? And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. What did he say in verse 9? Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God already had a plan again. He was already putting things in motion and in order. He had ravens the first time, and now he's going to have a widow woman that's going to take care of it. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called unto her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, amen, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of Elijah, or according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Number two, not only did we see Elijah down by the brook Cherith, but now we see Elijah and the widow woman. We see that God already had a plan for Elijah again. He sends him some 80 and that to 100 miles, and that across the nation of Israel. Now I want you to think about God's humor right here. I mean, listen, it's not rain. It's not rain for a while. You look in chapter 18, there's a famine in the land. Listen, Ahab and Obadiah is out looking for something to drink. They're looking for some grass for their horses and their mules so that they don't lose and that all their animals. And the Bible said right here that God sends Elijah out on an 80 to 100 mile journey. Reckon he got thirsty along the way. I dare say. Hey, listen, I'd be thirsty before I ever got down here to the end of the driveway. Amen. I know me. Listen, but I'd say Elijah was a little leaner than I was. Amen. And he might have been able to go a little further than I could without something to drink. But he's going to travel some 80 to 100 miles to get all the way up and that to Zarephath that belonged to Zidon. Now, what's so important about Zidon? Who was the king of Zidon? Well, Ichabod was. Who's that? That's Jezebel's daddy. Now, who's Jezebel married to? King Ahab. That in the land of Israel. So God in his infinite wisdom sends Elijah up and that to Zarephath, which belongs to the enemy. Not only does it belong to the enemy, but they're Gentiles. Listen, God is sending him to a Gentile widow woman that's going to take care of him. I think God was just getting him ready with them ravens down there to let some dirty birds take care of him. And now he's going to have to go let this old widow woman that is a Gentile that they didn't think was no better than dogs. Amen. Even the Lord Jesus said that over there in one of the Gospels. And so they go up, or he goes up there. The brook's dried up. And let me say this, that Elijah could have stayed there by the brook, but it was dried up. God told him to move, and there wasn't no more ravens going to come. God said, time to go. Time to go. When it's time to go, it's time to go. When it's time to move, God wants you to move so that he can use you, but not only use you, but sustain you. I want you to look at the state that both of them are in. He gets up here, and the very first thing that he asks when he comes in, and behold, the Bible said that the widow woman was there. And he tells her right here, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I believe he's thirsty. He came into, I always wondered how he knew it was her. Now God already had her there. He had commanded her to take care of him. And there she was in verse 10 when he walked through the gate of the city. But I always wondered how he knew that was her. Because the Bible said that he began to talk to her. He didn't ask her if she was the widow woman that God had commanded. He didn't say, hey, is there a widow woman running around town here somewhere? I mean, just when he walked into town and walked through the gate, behold, the widow woman was there gathering a stick, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. She didn't buck on him, did she? I don't know where they had the water at or what was going on, but I do know this, that Zarephath is up there on the Mediterranean Sea, all the way on the northern side of Israel, on the eastern side, or on the western side over there, and it's situated on the Mediterranean Sea. And so here she goes. And so we find that Elijah is thirsty. We also find that he's hungry. How do you know? Because he said right here, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now he said, I'm hungry. I've traveled 80 to 100 miles. Reckon how long it took him to get there. How long would it take you to traverse 80 to 100 miles on foot? Seriously. Now he might have hit the right on the way. I don't know. But I do know this, that he was having to stay away from King Ahab while he was going up through there, because King Ahab was looking for him. So here he goes, 80 to 100 miles. And he gets there, and no doubt he's hungry and he's thirsty. And she goes to get him that water, and he says, hey, before you go any further, said, go get me a little morsel of bread and bring it to me in your hand. I want you to bring it back to where I'm at. I don't know if he's so tired that he just sat down where he was and said, just bring me something to eat and bring me something to drink. Don't you look at the state that she was in. Now, I always found this statement right here amazing. Verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth. Now he wasn't her God, but she knew something about Elijah right there. I don't know if God had really tremendously spoke to her heart and dealt with her that the man of God was coming, or if that she knew who Elijah was by looking at him, or just knew that he was of Israel, but nonetheless she knew that he served the Lord God of Israel. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil on a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks in and going to make a big fire, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now listen, she was in a place with no hope, wasn't she? I mean, she is fixing to cook up a piece of bread and take a little bit of water. She's going to take what oil she's got, what meal she's got, she's going to mix it up, and she's going to make a little cake, and her son is going to split that thing, and they're going to eat it and drink a little water, and then they're going to lay down and die. Now that's being without hope. I mean, everything they had was over with. I mean, nobody else in town was going to give to her. Nobody else was going to see to her and take care of her. Thank God for the mercy and the grace of God. Ain't that right? Thank God for the mercy and the grace of God on the Gentile nation. Friend, we wasn't no different than she was. Hey, what was it that the Bible said in the book of Ephesians? At that time, you were that Christ, men aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are named nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, had Elijah not come, she'd have never been saved. If Jesus had not come, we'd have never been saved. And until you accept him. Listen, if that widow woman would have bucked on him and said, I ain't going to do it, I'm going to go ahead and cook these two sticks right here, fix that bread, that morsel of bread, that cake, and drink our water, and we're going to die. God would have let her done that, and he would have had another widow woman standing over here in the wayside somewhere to take care of Elijah. I believe that with all my heart. And so here we are. She's without hope. Are you without hope today? She was without sustenance, and she was without hope. She was on her last trip. Boy, you talking about going down. You ever heard somebody say, I was going down for the last time? But boy, by the mercy and the grace of God, he come by and reached down and picked me up. Boy, there's a great message just on the widow woman right here. There was nobody else there to take care of her. Her husband had died. There was nobody else to see to. Hey, listen, we ain't got nobody else to take care of us but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope and only help that we got. How to look, listen, here Elijah comes into town. He knows that God has took care of him day in and day out. He knows that he's fed him by the ravens, made him drink by the brook. And here this woman is, and that says, we're out of bread, we're out of meal, we're out of oil, we ain't got nothing else. And why are you asking me? All right. Verse 14, you see the state that there's in verse 13. But I want you to look at the security that Elijah gave her. Look at verse 13. He said, fear not. Ain't that good? Ain't you glad to hear from heaven? Fear not. Fear not. You know, when the Lord kept walking up on the boat that night, when them boys was out in the middle of that storm by their cell, fear not.
Be of good cheer, for it is I. And so here we go. He said, you just go do what I've told you to do. Now, I'm sure she's being very attentive, because somebody just tells me to fear not, but go on and do. Go on and do what you've told me. I'm going to have just a little more reason than that right there. Tell me, don't worry about it. Just go do. Why shouldn't I worry about it? Why shouldn't I be concerned about going using up what meal I've got left and what little bit of oil I got in the cruise? And you're telling me to fear not. I said, preacher, you're on a pessimistic side, ain't you? Every now and again. But I want you to look why he said this. Now remember, she's already said, as the Lord thy God liveth. So she knew that the Lord God that he served was in heaven. And I want you to look what he said. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now he gave her a promise, didn't he? Here's what I want you to do. Just go do what I told you. And if you'll just go do what I told you, that barrel of meal will always have some in it. That cruse of oil will always have a little bit in it. And we're not going to do without. Now I want you to watch what your Bible said. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Hey, listen, every time she reached down in that meal barrel and stripped out one handful, God took two back in. Every time she'd pour out a cup of oil, God poured two back in. Hey, never done with that because she trusted. Elijah got to see God do it again. Didn't he? Now think about that for just a second. Amen, church? Elijah was took care of down there by the brook day in and day out. And so God says, go to Zarephath. Go fire to a Gentile woman, widow woman, and let her take care of it. As I studied that, I thought, you know what? God gets out of our box sometimes, don't he? He gets out of our box. Now, he never gets out of the Word of God, but he gets out of our box on how he takes care of things sometimes. We come in one Sunday evening, I believe it's Sunday evening, and there was a $6,000 check taped to the front door out there, to the church. $6,000 check just taped to the church. Lady lives in this community right here. Don't come to this church, but is in this community. I don't know if she was paying her tithes for the year, for half year. I don't know what she was doing, but there was just a check taped to it, a little note on it, and we just put it right in the plate. I think Brother Jeff would tell you that during that singing that you had over here in Englewood, I'll guarantee you not everybody that put money in the plate or in the barrel or in the bucket was saved. God has a way of doing it, don't he? You see what I'm trying to say? Sometimes God gets out of our box. He gets out of our mold and our mind of thinking and that to take care of us sometimes. He never does it through sin. He never does it outside the Word of God. But he always does it how he wants to. So I can imagine Elijah, every day that widow woman went over there and got a little meal out and took that cruse of oil and mixed it up and baked a little bread, made a little bread. I believe that's thanking God for everything that he'd done. God handled it and took care of it again. Kind of makes me think about that widow woman. Reckon she got proselyted in. For another lack of better words, you reckon she got saved, made part of the family of God over in the nation of Israel. Look with me real quick. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to quit. And it came to pass after these things. What things? He fed Elijah by the ravens and made him drink by the brook. He's kept Elijah alive by the widow woman up here and took care of her. Reckon how many widow women there was in the town of Zarephath that God didn't see to and God didn't take care of. Reckon there's any more out there gathering up sticks to cook for them and their family, and they ate their last meal and died because there was a famine in the land and a drought in the land. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O man of God? O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up unto a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down to the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." What are you talking about? Seems to me that if I went to that meal barrel every day, and I went to that cruise of oil every day, that would have been enough to prove to that widow woman that he was a man of God, and that the word that was in his mouth was true. But she was faithful in her saying. Can I tell you something? How many times have we seen God move for us and do something for us, but we just ain't sure about it? We just don't. Am I the only one that's been that way? Preacher, you talk about God's real and God does stuff for you. He sure does. You ought to try. And listen, I'm not living by faith near like what some men and ladies live by faith. Living by faith can be fun, but living by faith can be scary. And so here that widow woman, she was honest in her saying. And she says, "Now I know. Now I know you're a man of God, and I know what you're saying out of your mouth is true." I would like to think that I would have known when that meal barrel didn't run dry and that cruise of oil never got empty. I'd like to think that. Now, I read that also for this. Elijah was fed by God by the ravens and drunk by the brook. He was fed by God through that widow woman and took care of. He raised her son from dead. You go over and you look in chapter 18. He meets King Ahab. God answers by fire on Mount Carmel over there. All because Elijah prayed for it to happen. And then in chapter 19. A man who had believed God and trusted God, knowing that God would do it again over and over and over and over and over and over again, knowing that God would do it, he gets set out on the run by Queen Jezebel and sits down under a tree out in the wilderness. I believe it was a juniper tree, and says, "Lord, you might as well kill me. I'm not any better than my fathers are." There comes moments of doubt in our life, even when we've seen God move for us personally. Even when we've seen God do for us things that we wouldn't think that He'd do for anybody else, there's still them little moments of doubt will creep up in our life. He ends up over there in a cave. He not only sits under the juniper tree in the wilderness, ends up in a cave, and God finally comes by in that still small voice and says, "What are you doing over here, Elijah?" God ever come by and just asked you, "Why are you doubting? Have I not done this and done this and took care of you here and took care of it here and handled it here and took care of it here and there? And took care of it, your answered prayer, and gave you a little token along the way. But yet, In our humanity, not our spirituality, but in our humanity, we doubt sometimes. And God don't want us to. You may be in a place to where God is taking care of you right now. You ought to thank Him. You may be in a place where you don't know what's going to happen, but you know God's going to handle it, and then keep the faith and let God handle it. But you might be like Elijah sitting under the juniper tree. God has took care so much for you and handled so much for you. I'd be ashamed. And there's times I have been ashamed, just like Elijah sitting under the juniper tree or laid up in a cave somewhere hiding. Shame on me. Knowing everything that God has done for me and seen me through and took care of everything. And that it would have been just a small thing for God to take care of Jezebel. As a matter of fact, He did take care of Jezebel eventually. Just a small thing. I don't know what your need is, but I know God can help it. Let's bow our heads this morning, church. Let's bow our heads. I've tried to give you what God has given me this morning. All I want you to see is God will do it again. Come on, man, let's get a verse of invitation. All I want you to see is God will do it again. He's a God that hears your prayers. He knows your needs. And if you'll follow Him, He'll help you. If you'll follow Him, He'll sustain you. If you'll follow Him, He'll give you strength in that to get through what you need to get through. He can handle it. But you've got to follow Him. Elijah had to go down by the brook Cherith and be there. When it dried up, Elijah had to go to Zarephath because God had commanded that widow woman to take care of him. Where are you at today? What is your need? What is your need today? Is your need in salvation like that widow woman? She needed somebody to come by and help her and save her, save her family. And God sent what was needed. Maybe that's you this morning. You've never been saved. This morning will be a good morning for you to get saved. Maybe you're in a place saying, "Preacher, I don't know how God's going to handle this thing. I don't know how He's going to take care of it." Some of you may be sitting here and say, "God has never done things for me like you talk about, preacher." You ought to try Him sometime. You ought to just try Him. Put Him to the test. And just try Him sometime. And see if God won't let you live by faith. He'll help you and see to you. I don't know you need, but boy, I tell you, I believe God won't help somebody this morning. I truly do. I couldn't get away from this thing. And I believe God wants to help you. Heavenly Father, would you move right now during this invitation? You know folks' needs. Lord, I've tried to bring the message for the hour. And God, I truly believe this is it. I truly believe this was it. God, there may be somebody right here struggling. And that to live by faith. God, I mean, they're struggling so hard. And they just don't know how to give it to you today. I pray they'll come and give it to you. Lord, you may have to feed them with ravens. And Lord, let them drink from the brook. And be alone. But you'll see to them. They may have to go let somebody else help them. But Lord, I pray you do that this morning. Just like that widow. Reasons come to pray, I pray that you'll touch them and help them today. Oh, I'm glad you're God that helps us. Helps us to live by faith. And Lord, every now and again, you'll just come and meet our need without us even knowing how you've done it, but you've done it. Lord, I sure do appreciate that.